my gosh, I've just had this awesome revelation. And you go and you're studying the Word, and all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit just slips in the room, and not that he's not there, but he's like slips in a different way, and he takes you into kind of vision thing, and you get to see something that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just in this place of revelation right now. I'm in a place of vision right now. This is like amazing. So now I know what I want to speak on. It all makes sense. So I'm going to speak on it today. So I'm going to speak on the core of heaven's culture is family culture. So before there was ever a family on earth, there was a family in heaven. Heaven was family. We had a father, we had a son, and we had the Holy Spirit. And they lived as family, they lived as one. It was the first divine family, God, Son, Holy Spirit. And then he said, let's increase our family. And he said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Image and likeness. And it's like, you know, whenever you have children, or those of you that have had kids, when they're born, it's like, oh, he looks like my dad, or, oh, she looks like my dad, or, you know. And we have this image, you know, there's these images that we get that are familiar down the family line, these traits that come that are familiar down the family line. And then as the kids grow and they begin to say, oh, you know, they throw a tantrum, you're like, you're just like your father. You know, never let the mother, it's always the father. Or, you know, they're generous spirited, or say, oh my gosh, you're just like, you know, grandma or whatever. And you see the likeness starting to come out, not just an image, but there's a likeness that flows through you to your children. And not only to your children, but we've noticed it actually comes out more in our children's children. We see more of the likenesses and more image coming through in our children's children, which I think is really exciting, because it confirms the generational blessings of God. Yeah? So, made in the image and likeness. So man was made with purpose and pattern. Purpose and pattern. Okay? You were made with a pattern, and you were made with a purpose. Your pattern is divine family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who is love. You were made in the pattern of heaven's family. You were created from that pattern. Their sovereign plan was to have a huge family on earth. And I think they've succeeded. They wanted, like, multiplication. Everything God does is about multiplication. It's never about decrease. Never about decrease. I hear about churches closing down or this or that, and I'm like, no. Like with Wellspring, it was sad. And I'm like, but God always speaks of increase. Everything he does is about multiplication. It's about growth. So he wanted this huge family on earth. So pattern, we were patterned after the divine family. Our purpose was to represent him. So everything that's in heaven's family, we are to represent on earth through our family. Okay, so the pattern that we're made in is heaven's family, father, mother, children. Yeah? But the purpose that we're made for is to represent that on the earth. And when you look at the earth today, how broken are the families? How many children are from broken homes? Or have different children, same house with different daddies. You know, my own son has, they have two daddies in their house. You know? So it's complicated. But we were made for divine family. And that's why God's a God of restoration. Into those situations of brokenness, he brings healing.
Amen.
And establishes sonship, proper sonship and daughtership. They say that you can't have fellowship, worship, playship and all the other ships until you have sonship.
Amen.
Unless you're in the sonship boat, the other things won't flow properly. Unless you understand what it is to be a son. That goes for the girls as well. So our purpose, your purpose, is to represent him, to represent him. All that was created for divine family, we're to re-represent. We're to rule, and we're to rule over creation. So we're to rule governmentally and we're to rule over creation. We have authority. I'll leave my Bible. Hope you brought your Bible. So you this church. Not just the audible word of God, you know, it is the written word. iPads are alright, but I like to hear the pages shuffle. So when we look at Genesis 1, 26 to 28, right back at the beginning. I want to fly through this today. Verse 26 of chapter 1, right at the beginning, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." So there's your divine pattern. Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. Why? Purpose. So they may rule. So they may rule. The church over the years has been almost decapitated. You know, the church over the years has lost its voice. It's lost its power. It's lost its identity because it doesn't know its purpose. Its plan, let us make man in our image and likeness. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Why? So that we can rule. So that we can rule. That makes us very powerful people. Very powerful people. We're to rule over the fish of the sea. You have authority over fish. You're to rule over the birds of the sky. You have authority over the airways. You have over the livestock and all the wild animals. You have authority over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Let me tell you a little story. We have authority over creation. We're made to rule and to reign. We're made to bring the kingdom of heaven back into a fallen world. Our job is to recreate Eden. Amen. Eden, to be recreated. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void. It's a bit like that again today. It's really messed up. But then Jesus came, and he created Adam and Eve, and they walked in the garden, and he created this garden for them. And our job is to represent him and recreate that place. Safe place, a beautiful place, a place of authority and rule, a place of love, a place of power. Our friends, Paul Oakley is a worship leader, and we were up at their house one day, and I love the garden, so I was out in the garden, the sun was there, and I'm like, "Oh, what happened to the tree?" They said, "Oh, it's our lemon tree, it died." They said, we're going to throw it out. And I'm like, "Well, have you talked to it?" And he looked at me, you know. "It's a tree." I'm like, "Well, Genesis tells me that I have authority and rule over all creation." So I said, "I've already tried it at home and it worked. So let me try over your tree. Can I command your tree?" And he went, "Yeah." I said, "Jesus commanded the fig tree. We can command the trees. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us, yeah?" So I went over to this tree and I said, "Lemon tree, you were made to bear forth fruit. I command you to bear forth fruit. If you don't have flowers and leaves on you within the next 2 weeks, we're going to burn you in the fire. You've got 2 weeks to produce." Right? We went home. Less than 2 weeks, he sent me a photograph. "Look at my tree. I was in full bloom. Like every branch, there wasn't one space on that tree that didn't have flowers." And he had this crop of lemons. Right? And I said to him, "How's your lemon tree?" He says, "Yeah, that's great." I'm like, "Awesome." We have a little one. And it died, right? And I just went up to it one day because I thought, "I'm going to try this out." It was my first time. And I said, "Lemon tree, if you don't produce for me within the next week or two, you're going in the bin." Right? Within 3 days, I had flowers and leaves. And then I had this stalk that came out. This weird, out in a limb thing. And all the little flowers turned into lemons, except this one branch. It grew an orange. And I was like, spiritual muscles. So that is. I'm like, they thought I better just do some extra for her because she's dangerous to me. So we have authority, yeah? You have authority. Don't throw your plants out. Talk to them. Tell them what they're to do. they're waiting for you. Bible says all creation groans and waits for the sons of God to be revealed.
Yeah.
It's waiting. The earth is waiting for us. It's waiting for our voice. It's waiting for our authority. Because the authority that's ruling it at the moment is killing it. It's a spirit of death. It's a spirit of devastation. It's the spirit of the age. It's the spirit of the enemy. But we have come with the Spirit of God in us, resurrection life. Yeah? So he has come so that we could carry him, so that we could, our purpose is to represent him and to rule. That's who we are. Doesn't that excite you?
Amen.
That's it. Done the first line of my message. 6 pages to go. Oh, no. Not really. So, Luke 3:37, I don't know if any of you, most of you probably do know this, but it kind of came as a bit of a revelation to me. It's like, you know something, and then you read it in the Word, and it's like, oh my gosh. So Luke 3, verse 37. When God created Adam, he didn't just create mankind, he created a son. A son. And it goes from verse 23. And it went from, it's the whole lineage of Jesus, which is a very interesting lineage. But at the end of verse 38, it says, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. The son of God. Adam wasn't just created as mankind, because his name means humanity. His name means he is named and written down in the Word as the son of God. Which means that humanity in itself are recognized by God as his children. So the next thing is, he said, let them rule. The pattern and design is connected to the divine purpose and the authority needed to accomplish it. So the pattern that you've been made by, the design, how God has designed you, is connected to your purpose. Yeah? So your design is connected to your purpose. It's like if I have my mom's little Aguila car, brilliant little car. What was it designed for? The town. Nipping around the town, easy in and out, easy to park, low tax, all that kind of stuff. At least a big car now. He's like, no, I'm gonna make it. So the Aguila was made with a pattern and a plan for a certain purpose. Yeah? Whereas you'll get a transit van that's made to a pattern and it's planned to serve a purpose. And it carries the authority for that purpose. It has a stamp that will say, this is who I am, this is what I can do. So our pattern and our plan of design is connected to the divine purpose that is needed to accomplish our destiny. So our destiny, our calling is to rule and reign. And we are made in with purpose, plan and design to enable us to carry that out. So whenever someone says to you, or you say to someone, oh, I can't really do that, you're actually really denying everything that God has put within you. If the resurrection power of Jesus lives in you, that same power that rose Jesus from the dead, there is no reason why you can't speak to someone else about Jesus. There's no reason why we can't go out in the street. There's no reason why we can't love the unlovely. Because our pattern and our design was made for the purpose of loving. Was made for the purpose of reaching others. Was made for the purpose of extending the family of God. Then the fall, the curse came, which brought deception, deceit, lies, disobedience, and led to separation of the Father from the sons. So we had the Heavenly Father, yeah? The Heavenly Family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And they were like, we want to like extend our family. We want sons and daughters. So they created Earth. And they created Earth with a plan and a purpose. And this plan and purpose was to satisfy and delight our hearts. It wasn't made for him, it was made for our pleasure. So that pattern and plan was made for our purpose, for our pleasure. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we want a big family. He came down, he created the earth, and he formed humanity. Yeah? Then his family let him down. Has anybody ever, have your kids ever let you down? Messed up?
Yeah.
Been cheeky? Think, where's that? The first time they ever said no to you? You're like, what the fuck? I'm like a really good mom. Why are you so mean to me? My heart was broken. Literally. No. What? I'm not doing it. What? Of course you'll do it. No. Seriously, you're like, what do I do now? You know? And it wounds your heart because you've never really done anything that warrants this kind of behavior. And I can only imagine how the Father felt, how Jesus felt, when Adam and Eve did what they did. When everything that he created was for their pleasure. The whole purpose of it was for them. And they still listened to a stupid snake, seriously, over and above their Father. Sometimes the world and the world's ways are so deceptive, they look pretty and beautiful. And they lure us in, don't they? But it leads to separation. Separation of the Father from the Son. So, what was a union? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, family, big family, together, walking, talking, enjoying life together, fun together, was then the Father had to leave because of sin, because of separation. So in kingdom culture, to every curse there's a blessing, every lie there's truth, and every problem there's a solution. Yeah? Let me say it again. Every curse there's a blessing. If you feel there's things coming against your life, you're in for blessing. You got to call in a blessing in place of what the enemy's trying to bring you down under. For every lie, there's a truth. So many of us live under lies of I can't because, or this isn't going to change, or whatever that lie is. I'm not a good person. I'm not valuable enough. Everybody's more important than me. There's a lie. For every lie, there's a truth that God wants to establish in our lives and in our understanding. And for every problem, there's a solution. Women find it easier than men to build things because we read the instructions. I'll let that one sit with you. Malachi, last chapter in the Old Testament. God begins to change things, he begins to shift things because he wants his family back. He wants that family. So over the history period, he begins to shift things, and he begins to prophesy about a new Elijah, about a Messiah, about a Savior, someone who's going to unlock the doors of heaven again and bring the families together. And Elijah, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." And this is like in Malachi, right? This is way after all the other stuff. "And he will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to the parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total desolation." What happened at the fall? The hearts of the fathers and the sons were separated again. They were separate. There was a breaking, there was a cutting off between the fathers and the sons and daughters. And he said, "I'm going to send in Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the parents to the children, the hearts of children to the parents." All the Lord wants is that relationship back with his family. He would go to any lengths to rejoin us, the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the parents. When we look at today, and the relationship of children and parents today, it's a lot, so... Families outside of Christ, and even some in Jesus, children are really, they've got no respect for their parents. There's no honour, there's no obedience, there's no love. You know, there's this constant battle all the time. And God says he's going to turn the hearts of the parents back to the children and the hearts of the children to the parents. How beautiful is that? Mm-hmm. The whole purpose of Elijah, of Jesus, is the turning back, the restoration of the heart. So family is the structure through which our Heavenly Father's blessings flow from one generation to the next. Spiritual blessings are released through declaration. It's the pattern of heaven. So Jesus, the pattern of heaven is declaring so that it becomes. He says, "Call that which is not as though it is, and it shall become." Amen. So Jesus spoke over the waters and they became. He spoke over the land and the animals were formed. And then he spoke everything except man. He created man. everything else was spoken. So everything comes by declaration. Spiritual blessings are released through declaration. In biblical times, the protocol for generational blessing was, if you're my son and I'm getting older, which I'm not, I would come and I would lay my hands on my child and I would impart the blessing and I would impart the mantles and I would impart the giftings that I have had in the Lord or have been passed on to me. And when I pass them on to my children, they double. It says that if they want it, they can have a double portion. If they want it, they can have a double portion. But children in this community would work hard to earn the right of that inheritance. They stayed in the family, they worked for the family, they served the family, they honored the family. They guarded their mother and father. They protected them because they knew that for them there was an inheritance that was going to be passed on to them that they wanted to receive, a blessing. Today it's just about, oh, are they going to leave me a house? Honestly, that's what we've come down to today. What's mum and dad going to leave me? Do you know what I mean? What am I going to leave my kids? I want to be able to impart. We've prayed and imparted over all our children. And I want to keep imparting to them. As God increases in me, I want to give it to them. And bless them and see them grow. So sons and daughters received inheritance through audible blessings. But sons and daughters positioned themselves with the right heart and attitude toward their parents, honoring them, which released them into destiny and kingdom assignment. Then came the restoration and release of blessings. So God promised to send the spirit of Elijah, Malachi 4, the spirit of Elijah in the last days. And I believe that we're in the last days. I believe that we're in the last of the last days before the great and terrible day of the Lord. I think for us it will be great. I think for others it will be terrible. So Elijah wasn't just known for Mount Carmel. Does any of you remember Mount Carmel, where he called the gods of Baal and they both set up altars because they brought bad gods into the land, and they'd set up an altar and he says, bring all your prophets, all your hundreds of prophets, and kill the calf, kill the cow, and put it on top of the altar, and I'll do one and there'll be me. And he had, like, I think it was like 400 prophets, and they started to call in the name of their gods. And they cut themselves with knives and they bled under the altar and they cried out all day and nothing happened. And then Elijah, it says, it came to the time of the sacrifice. He knew there was a time, there was a moment when it was the time of the sacrifice, being obedient to the Father, the Son obedient to the Father. And he said, Father, come, that they may know that you are God. And fire came down from heaven. Oh my gosh, could you imagine doing that out there? Come on, Jesus, come. And not only that, he had dug trenches around the altar and he got them to fill it. They were in a time of drought and he got them to fill it with water. So it was a sacrificial offering onto the altar as well as the animal. Famine and drought. We need to eat this corn. No, I need to establish that God is in the house. I need to establish who is God of this land. If you want the famine to stop and the drought to stop, you need to know who's God here. You need to be obedient. And he called in the name of the Lord, and fire came down from heaven and burned, consumed not just the altar, but the water that surrounded it as well. Consumed the whole thing. Because he had called for no rain for 3 years, didn't he? So it's all his fault anyway. But he was known more for his spiritual son, Elisha. Elijah went to Elisha in his house and he said, Elisha, follow me. I've got a mantle I need to release onto someone else. I want you to follow me. Elisha was a farmer. And if someone came up to you and said, hey, come and come with me. Come with me. I want you to just to come with me now. I've got a mantle for you. You'd think like, I've heard of you, crazy prophet. I'm not leaving my farm and my money and my inheritance to come with you. And what did Elisha do? He said, sure, just give me time to say goodbye to my mum and dad. And Elijah was like, we'll catch up when you're ready. You know? And Elisha killed his bulls that he was plowing with, burned all the equipment, and fed the community with the food. And then he left and followed Elijah. And they went on a journey of becoming father and son, of becoming the pattern of heaven on earth. Elisha received a double portion of his father's anointing as a faithful son. But he went through a process. The spirit of Elijah comes to restore relationships between fathers and sons. Elijah was qualified to father Elisha because he had proved his heart over and over. He walked in supernatural provision at the brook Cherith, where the ravens brought him meat and bread every day, and he had the water there. He had multiplication of flour and oil with the widow. He said, you know, she said, I'm going to die. I've only got one bit left to make a loaf for my son and me. And he said, well, if you go, make one for me, it'll be plenty for you. The oil will multiply. Go get all the jars and fill them up. Just keep pouring it in. They'll keep. So this oil, until she got to the last jar, this oil just kept pouring out of this one jug. Just kept pouring. They filled them all up, and she sold them, and it kept her going. But he walked in that supernatural lifestyle. He walked in resurrection power. He raised the widow's son from the dead. So he was well qualified spiritually. He was qualified as a father. So Elisha was a pursuing son. He was willing to give up all for the cause of God's kingdom. He stopped his livelihood, burned his bridges, never looked back. You never hear Elisha talking about, I'd like to go back to Egypt where the food is good. Elisha followed Elijah everywhere he went and learned from him. He gave himself wholly to following this new father of his. He's demonstrated the heart of a son in surrender, submission, serving, and obedience. So a son, how do we know that we're sons and daughters? The heart to honour a father and mother and the mantle, anointing, and assignment that they carry. You place value on what their fathers and mothers value. Follow in their footsteps, the walk of obedience and learning. A heart of obedience and a heart to serve. Walking closely, seeing closely. Walking closely alongside the fathers and mothers and demonstrating a deep passion and hunger for the things of God. Like, remember, these guys didn't have the word. You know, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have, they had the, like, the oral audibles and some of the written. So Elisha's journey in 2 Kings 2, 1-14, there was a prophetic walk into inheritance for Elisha. Elisha 2 says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. How cool is that? No funeral costs, come on. A whirlwind, come on, just stand there and whoop whoop, away you go. It's like a heavenly encounter, you just don't come back. And the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. There was a testing. Gilgal is the place where God commanded all the males to be circumcised before they entered into the promised land. So it was a place of laying down of the flesh. It was a place where Elisha had to make a choice and say, at this point, am I going to go back? Or at this point, am I going to put to death everything that is of my flesh and walk in obedience to my father, to Elijah? And Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. He understood that covenant relationship. They then went to Bethel, and Bethel is known as the house of God. It's where Jacob encountered an open heaven. So it's a geographical like location of Bethel where the heavens opened and there's these ladders and angels ascended and descended up and down. I mean, who would like to have that kind of encounter? Angels ascending and descending in front of you before and seeing right into heaven. Like, really, isn't that awesome? So Bethel is called the house of God because of the gates of heaven. And then when they were there, there were these sons of prophets that came out and said, don't you realize that Elijah's going to die? You need to come with us and be trained up as a prophet. You need to come with us because he's going to die. But Elisha understood the relationship that was needed to be in the inheritance. He understood that for him to walk in his destiny, he needed to follow a pattern. That he was made for a purpose, but the pattern that he followed would release the purpose that was in him. So he followed Elijah, because Elijah was teaching him the pattern of heaven. He was teaching him the ways of heaven. Next, they went on to Jericho. And each time, Elijah said, "Stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "But as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. And what happened there? The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha. So not just the sons of the prophets, the big boys, the prophets, came up to Elisha. "Don't you know the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" So they're obviously prophets. They knew what was coming. "Don't you know? Like, are you silly? Why are you still hanging around him? Come and join us." Because they could see what was in Elisha. They could see the inheritance that was growing within him. Jericho, the place of supernatural breakthrough. Sons of the prophets, well, the prophets tried again to discourage, but he stayed faithful, believing in the Father's blessing and inheritance. And knowing that he stayed faithful, he would then receive the blessing of Elijah and his mantle, which was a mantle of authority. Next thing, Elijah said, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Jordan." So he'd come through the place of laying down his flesh, laying down him and saying, "I'm going to follow you, holy, 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 everything I am is given over to you, Father." And then he went through Bethel and he encountered God in that place of supernatural encounter. Then he went to Jericho. Because he'd encountered the supernatural, he got supernatural breakthrough anointing. So each stage of his life, he was being anointed and imparted to for different things. As he laid down the flesh, as he encountered God, he then began to walk in supernatural breakthrough. They then went to Jordan, which was the place of living in the Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. As this is when Elijah, it says here, they 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. So they stopped them and they faced them. They're like, "We're going to watch and see, because we know this guy's going to be taken any moment now. And we want to see what's going to happen." They're at the Jordan River right now. Okay? And Elisha was beside his father. Elijah took his cloak. Took his cloak off, rolled it up, and struck the water, and the Jordan parted, just like the Red Sea. Right? Imagine taking off your coat and striking the Avon River down at the bridges, and it going. People would be like, "Who is she? Who is he? And what have they got?" And they'd probably turn around and say, "That's of the devil." Because they've never seen the power of God. The power of God has been so hidden that it's up to us to take off our coats and begin to move the waters. It's up to us to begin to uncover the power of the resurrected Jesus in us. So he took off his coat, he struck the water with it, and the water divided to the right and to the left. Didn't go all over the place, it was very specific. Right, just right out there. And they walked over on dry ground. Even the ground of the river was dry. It was a dry riverbed. Not even a dribble to get their shoes muddy. A dry riverbed. I'm awful. I was reading this going, "Oh my gosh. Like, if you go down to the river at the bridges and did that and just walked from one side to the other, what would people do? What an amazing opportunity to turn around and say, the power that split the waters is Jesus Christ. The power that we know today, that what you're seeing right now is Jesus Christ." And begin to talk to them and share the gospel with them. How many would get saved, do you think? Oh, my days. Because they see everything Jesus did, he did by demonstration of power. Yeah?
Absolutely.
So he did it with all those little prophets washing there too. So, and then he said to Elisha, right, Elisha, we've come to the end. What do you want from me? And Elisha said, I want a double portion. He said, you have asked for a difficult thing, but if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. And as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire came, appeared, and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Come on. Elisha saw this, because Elijah said, if you see me, if you're seeing it, I'll know you're a prophet if you see it. And if you see it, and you see what's happening, I'm going to give you my mantle. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. He took hold of his old garment and tore it in two. He let go of his old mantle, absolutely, all that he was carrying, everything that had been of him, he was letting go. And he knew that it was time to step into the mantle of Elijah. And he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him, and he went right back to that place of the water. And I'm sure he stood and wondered. The prophets were watching. And he walked, he took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water. Where now is the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left. And he crossed over. And from that point, he knew that the inheritance, all the mantle of Elijah had been passed on to him and passed over. And he began to walk in exponential miracles, exponential signs and wonders and supernatural living. So Jesus, it said that Jesus is like the representation, Elijah is like the representation of Elijah is the representation of Jesus. So when Jesus came, we had the divine family. We had the earthly family that was formed. We have sin that broke that record, that broke that relationship. It divided and separated them. Then God sent a man with the spirit of a fathering heart that was bringing the hearts of the sons and daughters back together again. And he was the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And what was the whole purpose of Jesus? He says, when you see me, you see the Father. You see the Father. So you have the family, the children, the breaking because of the curse. Elijah came to begin to instill into people, there's something more, we need to begin to work at the restoration of the hearts of the fathers to the children. Then Jesus came and he pointed us to the Father, so that this, not just on this level, but this level, there's been this full restoration of the sons having a fresh recognition of the Father. The heart of the Father was turned back to the sons through Christ. And our hearts have been turned back to the Father through Jesus. I just think it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing that right from the beginning to now, the whole purpose and plan of family was today. The whole purpose of Jesus was to reinstate our relationship as family, the divine pattern, the divine purpose, so that we know that we have an inheritance. It says that I am you and you and me. Greater works will you do than I have done. Why? Because we have the inheritance. We have the mantle of Jesus Christ. We have his robe. We have that mantle. Just like Elisha had from Elijah, we have it from Christ. In us, upon us. In us for us, upon us for others. That same power. But we've got to walk a journey of sonship. Some of us are further along than others. But there's a journey of understanding what it is to be a son of God. And he will take us through that laying down of the flesh.
Yes,
he will take us through that encountering God. He will take us through that beginning to break into supernatural signs and wonders. And then he will call us to take up our mantles. So I just feel today that the Father has said a few things to you. And I want to just give you room to respond today. We don't have a lot of time. We're going to respond. I feel the Father said to you today, are you ready to leave your old garments behind and follow the kingdom culture of family? Are you ready to leave those old garments behind? Are you ready to circumcise your flesh, to walk a life that is holy unto the Lord? wholly given to him, following him, following his word, following his ways, not following the crowd, being obedient and faithful, stepping into Bethel, the gates of heaven. Do you want to do that today? Do you want to lay down the flesh, step into the gates and see the gates of heaven? Do you want to experience Jericho today? Do you want to begin to experience the supernatural signs and wonders, supernatural lifestyle?
Yeah.
You've got to lay down the flesh. You've got to come to the place of encounter so that you can have breakthrough in the spirit. Do you want to step into the Jordan? Into the place of the river for fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit? Fresh infilling, fresh encounter? I do every day. It's like, what I had yesterday is not enough.
That's right.
So maybe it's time to say yes again. Maybe it's time for the first time to say yes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to say yes again.
Yes.
So if that's you, and you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, just come and stand over here. If you want to come and lay down, just say yes again to the Lord and say, God, it's a time of surrender. I'm laying down my garments, everything that my ambitions, all my dreams, I'm laying them down. I need an encounter with heaven. I want to walk as a son to a father. I want to walk in that supernatural lifestyle so that I can rule and reign with the spirit of breakthrough and anointing. So if that's you today, I want you to get out of your seats and come forward and just do some business with the Lord this morning. I'd love to just pray for you.